2,000 AeroCasts, how we got here and where we're going next. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. We're not sure if we can exactly put our finger on which of the three AeroCasts today it is, but today we're celebrating the 2000th AeroCast from Aero News Network, and we wanted to kind of take a moment and reflect back on how this product has grown, what will be following in the future. Paul Plack here with Jim Campbell, who is editor-in-chief of Aero News Network, and Rob Finfrock, who is our managing editor. Guys, thanks for joining me here today.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Guys, I am going to ask you to kind of lead me into this because, as you know, I was not here for the earliest days of AeroCasts because those started out in 2005 at Oshkosh, if I understand correctly. And, Jim, would you get us started on how this all came to pass?
Aero News started about 10 years ago. It was, you know, our effort at that point to quit killing new trees with old news and try to find a more immediate way to deliver the critical as well as the exciting information that represented all aspects of aviation and aerospace. However, the written word is a wonderful thing, but the written word is a hard thing to portray nuance. It's hard to get the depth and breadth of a subject that sometimes you can get when you do a full-length interview or when you're able to do something in the field or portray the sounds and the backgrounds and the things that are happening. Podcasting was starting to be a real big deal. We'd been listening to a lot of it. Frankly, a lot of it was not very good, kind of like what's happening to video right now. We had been working with a fellow that had been helping us quite a bit on the editorial side who had some pretty strong bona fides in journalism as well as radio, and Pete Combs. And Pete was tasked to come up with a plan whereby we were able to put together the audio programming, which became ANN AeroCasting some 2,000 programs ago.
Well, you know, you mentioned that it's hard to convey nuance and subtlety in the printed word sometimes. I think anybody who's been misunderstood on an internet forum will observe that it's also very easy to convey the wrong nuance or subtlety.
Oh, amen to that one.
It's very nice sometimes to hear the sound of someone's voice and their inflection in addition to the actual words they're saying. Rob, you were involved as a editor on the text side of Aero News when this all started out. How did these two things get integrated?
Well, actually, Paul, I was way before my editorial days with ANN. My first duty as a stringer for Aero News at Oshkosh 2005 was literally Jim sticking the little very chintzy MP3 recorders we brought to the show. Obviously, we have much better equipment now. Sticking that little MP3 player-sized microphone in my hand, going, go up to the North 40 and catch some interviews of people who just landed. That was the first thing I ever did for Aero News, and I barely knew what a podcast was at that point. I wasn't entirely sure how this audio was going to get onto the website, but they gave me something to do, and I did it. And talk about nuance and talk about conveying tone. It makes a fantastic story to type up, print out, post on the website what so-and-so said after landing their Mooney for the very first time at Whitman Field. But to hear them express it, to hear them say the words, out of breath, exhilarated, the adrenaline's flowing, looking towards the runway, I can't believe I just did that. Obviously, when it comes to that, audio and more recently video in particular is a tremendous medium to convey the excitement of aviation. As you know, like you said, I am a print guy. I love the written word. I love writing. I hope this medium never goes away completely from the printed word. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge that audio, and in particular, being able to listen, not only being able to hear somebody say the words instead of reading them, but being able to take that person's words with you and being able to download it onto your MP3 and listening to an interview. When I was moving back from Dallas to Albuquerque last year. That gave me an opportunity to finally catch up on all of the features that you had done that I had said, oop, I have to listen to that, and I put it into my folder, but I hadn't had a chance to listen to. You got me pretty much from Amarillo through to Tucumcari. and I thank you for that.
God help you there, Paul. I'm not quite sure I want to take the blame for that.
Of course, after that, I didn't want to hear your voice until Albuquerque again.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. It was Max Truscott who commented in his blog that some of these features are just the right length for his commute. It's really interesting to see how these things get used, which leads me to this, Jim. We don't really have a firm idea exactly how far these things go, because AeroCasts have been picked up by a number of aggregators and a number of just small websites that pass them on, you know, seemingly infinitely.
It's amazing where these things have been. I've seen the links on sites all over the world. We've also gotten email from people who listen to it in Antarctica. We've listened, in a variety of areas. At one point, although we weren't allowed to use it by NASA, we actually conducted an AeroCast interview from the International Space Station. There's been some amazing ways that it's both been received and transmitted and used and utilized. I know for a fact that a number of yours and Pete's and my interviews and some of Rob's as well have been put in as part of instructional materials, are being used in training, or being used in corporate briefings. There's no question that the AeroCasting program has had a decidedly positive and comprehensive effect on the aviation world.
Well, I think before we take a break here and talk about how it's going to happen in the future, Rob, I want to advise you, especially when you're talking to young people, don't call it printed word or text or anything. You want to use the term low-density analog optical, and they perk right up.
Okay, hold on a second, Paul. Let me get my pen and paper. I didn't catch all that.
All right. Hey, Rob, you're past 30, man. It's you're over the hill.
All right. Young whippersnappers today.
All right. I'll repeat that for you during the break, and we'll be back in a moment to talk more about AeroCasts as we celebrate the 2000th with Rob Finfrock, Jim Campbell, and when we come back, Sarah Curtis. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here talking with Jim Campbell, who is the editor-in-chief of Aero News Network, and also with Sarah Curtis, who has the new position of senior producer for Aero TV. We're going to talk a little bit about where we go forward from here, having gotten 2,000 audio podcasts behind us. First of all, Jim, introduce Sarah to us.
Absolutely, Paul. I had a chance to work with Sarah a fair amount over the last year in a number of projects, including the Stephen Hawking zero-gravity flight last year. It's been a little bit over a year now. I met Sarah at the Brooks Institute during the Platypus workshops, where they were training journalists who had been working in conventional media to adapt new media technologies. To make a long story short, if there was ever anybody who was perfect for the job from a standpoint of organizational as well as understanding the media and with a clear vision for what's necessary, this is the person. So we hired Sarah Curtis on to take over as senior producer of Aero TV, which means from here on, basically her life is over.
Well, Sarah, I guess my first and most logical question for you would be, what were you thinking?
Oh, that is a very good question. Well, no, this is such an exciting time right now for news media because, as he did mention, I was part of the Platypus informational workshop, and actually I was an assistant there. I was helping to teach. Because as we've seen over the last year specifically, newsprint is all going towards online media. So there's been a real push in the photojournalism world, which is my background, to go from normal photography to videography. It adds a whole new element to the story that we're able to produce for viewers and just news watchers in general. And it's exciting to be a part of that and exciting to take that new revelation and bring it forward in every medium that we can. So I don't know what I was thinking. We'll see.
Well, you know, it occurs to me, and I'll throw this open to either one of you who want to answer it, that the demographics of aviation suggest that there are probably a lot of people involved in the aviation industries who maybe don't appreciate the pace at which this sea change is happening in media. Jim, why don't you tell us what new media means from your perspective?
Boy, if anybody can define new media right now, they're a better person than I am. And Sarah, you are more than welcome to try because you probably are a better person at this stage of the game. However, what it really means right now is that the quality, quantity, and speed of information that people demand, that people are living their lives by, is changing at a breathtaking pace. I was at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention just a couple of weeks ago, and it's obvious from both the old school and the new school that everybody is bewildered at the breathtaking pace at which change is happening to this industry. What new media is right now, though, is giving people what they want, when they want, the way that they want it, and so they can take it with them.
That's right. That's right. And I would completely agree with that. You know, one thing that is happening is because of that new media, it's almost like a force that has to be reckoned with. Every element of news that we're seeing, as far as, you know, the corporate media element, as far as bloggers, as far as more independent people that are able to get out their information and opinions, you know, given whatever topic that they choose, it's continuing to speed up in pace. And the good thing is that the kind of product that we're able to provide, those that may not have the experience with new media per se can still get the old product, can still get the written word. This just adds a new dimension to it. This adds a new element and level of perspective that is there and is available to our viewers if they choose to want it that way. So, you know, it's definitely a challenge for us because, well, one thing is that, you know, my generation, for example, we grew up with that new media. We grew up with the computer. We were driven by the computer. And, you know, that generation is now coming up as aviation enthusiasts. And so that technology is inherent to the way that that world works for them. And we want to at least be able to continue that as much as we can with the technology. I mean, the aviation world demands technology. This is our way of just answering that demand.
I'm going to make a couple of observations about new media so far because I come from an old media background. I guess when I was in it, it was called electronic media, which has a somewhat different connotation now. But my radio background, I watched this start to happen. I have a couple of observations. First of all, everyone thought that the internet would provide every person on the street with the opportunity to get his point out to the world. And I think the reality that people have come to recognize is that you can only drink from a fire hose, you know, to some extent. If the internet comes into your home, it brings you far more than you could ever possibly read. And I think there is an understanding starting to come over people who deal in new media that there is still a role for a gatekeeper in the sense that TV networks and broadcasters and big newspapers used to be. We still want someone to digest all that stuff that's coming out of the fire hose and give us a piece of it that's important, relevant, known to be accurate, and, you know, the right size bite to digest for us each day. Within the aviation industry, Jim, where does this point Aero News? I know we're talking about an ANN style to new media. What does the aviation industry need from us, and how are we going to fill that need?
Boy, what a great question. And the interesting thing is it's the hardest aspect of what we're trying to do here and why we are so fortunate to be working with just some extraordinary people. In addition to Sarah, we're building up a team right now that I couldn't be more proud of if I tried. But what it really comes down to is the fact that there's a tremendous amount of information out there. The one major discriminating factor is how well it's organized, how well it's produced, and how much it's on target to the readership, viewership, listenership that is looking for it. There is a tremendous amount of video out there, for instance, and the 99.9% of it is, you know, point, shoot, and see what happens. We're dealing with professionals here. We're dealing with professionally trained. We're talking journalists as well as videographers. We're talking on the aviation side, aviation journalists with serious time and grade, serious expertise in what's going on, tremendously difficult production values that are seen very rarely out on the web and sometimes even less in the broadcast world. The key here is to make sure that as a gatekeeper, if you will, for the aviation industry, that what we're producing is professionally done, wholly accurate, ethical to 10 decimal places, because video can be translated and manipulated in a number of ways, and that's a very dangerous slope. We have to prove that we're trustworthy, we have to prove that we're professional, and we have to prove that we're on target with what they want, and we have to do it every single day.
Well, Jim, Sarah, I enjoy working with you both immensely. I look forward to Oshkosh and all the other things we do together this year, and thanks very much for spending a few minutes to tell our listeners what's ahead.
Oh, well, thank you.
Anytime, Paul.
Jim Campbell is the editor-in-chief of Aero News Network. Sarah Curtis is the senior producer for Aero TV. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net and at aero-tv.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.